Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, March the 28th. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about Mexico, and our friend Alan Wall is going to be joining us. Hi, Alan. How are you?
Well, fine. Thank you. It's great to be on your show again.
Thank you so much. It's a great honor to have you. Now, do I tell you Happy Holy Week, or do I say Happy Easter Week? What are you more accustomed to?
Holy Week. Yeah.
I was, I mean, just,
you can say either.
Either one. You know, the customs in Latin America that I remember growing up were very, very, you were very subdued. I mean, this week started off what we used to call Holy Monday, literally called it Lunes Santo, right? And then we would sort of, the holiness would grow during the week. So by the time you got to Friday, it was really holy. You know, you were, what I remember Friday, we were very subdued. You know, you didn't hear a lot of music. You were just kind of sitting down, taking it easy, you know, thinking about the event, of course, the crucifixion of Christ. And that's what I remember growing up. Is that your experience in Mexico?
Yes, I saw, you know, it depends on where you are. I think some areas were more traditional than others. We visited Morelia, Michoacan, a lot of interesting customs in that state, in Michoacan. We went to a procession of silence on Good Friday at night. It was so impressive. Nobody, I mean, it was really silent. You know, the people marching and the people watching. It was so impressive. And another, we were in this village, an Indian village, and there were people riding on horses, and they were, they said they were the Romans looking for Jesus. And so they had this ongoing type of passion play, you know, in this town that wasn't even very big. And of course, you had the great Iztapalapa passion play in Mexico City. There's all sorts of interesting customs that sometimes vary, you know, by region.
I suppose the more rural you are, the further away from the big cities, the more the traditions are still around. That's my sense.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
and some cities are more, you know, more industrial, modern, right. Maybe depends.
I remember in Mexico City, outside of Mexico City, maybe, I don't know, 30 minutes away going north, I remember, so toward Querétaro, I remember there was a church that would have this, I guess it's a play. And the way it was explained to me is that this was something that the Spanish did to bring Christianity to the natives. I mean, they would have these exhibitions. And I think that's how the Posadas also got started, from what I understand. Of course, that's Christmas time. But all of these things were brought by the Spaniards to sort of bring the Christianity to the natives, Alan. That's what I understand.
Right. And because they make it very vivid. It's a drama, you know, the way they present
that's
it.
That's right. Yeah. But I just remember we used to call this Semana Santa. And even today, you know, my wife and I refer to it as Semana Santa. And even today, you know, we refer to this as Jueves Santo or Holy Thursday.
Right.
And then, of course, tomorrow being Good Friday and then Holy Saturday. And then it seems like on Sunday, everything is unleashed. You know, that's when all the happiness comes, right? You know, on Sunday, there's, you know, the day of resurrection. I don't even know if that's a proper word, but is that an English word, resurrection? I know it's in Spanish.
Yes. Okay. Right.
But that's the day that everything just kind of, you know, the celebration is head on. Now, here, of course, a lot of the women on Easter Sunday wear hats and, you know, white dresses and yellow dresses. I don't remember that in Cuba or in Mexico. Maybe they wore some of the native costumes, but I don't remember, honestly. I don't know if you do.
Well, it's an Anglo-Saxon custom was to wear something new to church on Easter. So there's still some people that do that.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a great holiday. I mean, I keep, you know, I always say to people that if you can, either as a tourist or because you're down there or whatever, that there are two times of the year when Mexico is very interesting, Christmas time and Easter week.
Right.
If anybody can, I mean, sometimes, you know, if you live down there, of course, it's easy to see it. But if you travel down there to see a friend or whatever, these are two times of the year when it's different than what we do. And that's what makes it interesting for me.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, the Quema de Judas custom where they burn someone in effigy. It's on Holy Saturday. Fill it with firecrackers and set it on fire. And the effigy resembles maybe an unpopular politician or something like that. That's a pretty interesting custom.
That would be. You wonder who they would burn this year.
Yeah. A lot of options there.
Yeah, they have a few options this year. But, well, let's talk about it. A politician, and that's President López Obrador, who was interviewed on 60 Minutes. And you wrote a piece about it that I on your web, well, on the other website that you write for, Border Hawk. But also, I think you also brought that to your own website as well. By the way, how's your website doing?
Well, my new website, Mexico News Report. I'm, you know, getting it started, and I've been writing some about the election and other topics and. Just trying to slowly pick up steam and get more readers.
Yeah, it takes time. Those things take time, but it kind of builds up gradually.
Right.
But President López Obrador basically has said I'm paraphrasing, but I think I'm pretty close. He said that we have to do four things.
Yeah.
First, we have to give $20 billion to poor countries, whatever that means.
Right.
Then we have to end the sanctions against Venezuela. Then we have to end the embargo against Cuba. And then we have to legalize. I don't know whether he said a number or not, but I think he said law abiding Mexicans in the United States.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty shocking for him to put all of that on the table. I can understand that he would do that in a private session, you know, if he would say, look, this is what I want and let's see what I can get. But in a private session, but to put it out there on 60 Minutes, I mean, it's almost like in your face, President Biden. That's how I took it, Alan.
Well, yeah. And he said these sorts of things before. I mean, the guy just, he's got the gift of the gab, you know, he'll just say anything, but it's amazing. Like you said, you know, for one thing, the Cuban-Venezuela thing, that's really another issue. That's a foreign policy. But he never has he's always complained about the embargo on Cuba and all the Venezuela stuff. And of course, he wants amnesty for illegal aliens in the United States. He's always, you know, supported that. And of course, he's always talked – he wants the United States to spend billions of dollars. You know, it's very vague, like you say, though. How, you know, what, you know, we've already pumped billions of dollars into the region. But it's just amazing. And what he said, and I noticed what he said was, if the U.S. doesn't do that, then the mass migration is never going to stop.
Right.
But he thinks that if we did those four things, then it's going to stop. You know, I just don't believe it, but it fits in with he said crazy stuff like that before in different venues, but now here he is right there on 60 Minutes, you know, saying right.
He must have felt good saying that on 60 Minutes. You know what I mean? He must have said, okay, I'll say it now. But yeah, I mean, the four things are so crazy. You know, he says $20 billion to poor countries. Now, if he said, I'm going to encourage all these poor countries to attract more foreign investment than those private companies. If he said, I'm going to open up the energy sector in Mexico so that we can attract more foreign investment, or the agricultural sector, or, I mean, I don't have a problem with private investments going into these countries, but he wants $20 billion to poor countries. If he was in front of me, I would ask him, what pockets are they going into?
Exactly. You know,
tell me what pockets, because
that's the problem.
That's the problem. Now, the sanctions against Venezuela, that's weird because that's not a very democratic country. I mean, they're denying an election. I mean, the leading candidate cannot even get on the ballot. Yeah. So how can you support that? And then the embargo against Cuba, I wrote in my American Thinker post that I think he wants that because he wants Cuba to pay back all the money that he's forgiven. I mean, they've been forgiving loans to Cuba during his administration. But again, what does that have to do with immigration? And then, of course, the legalization. Well, there's no way that's going to happen. I mean, I know there's some talk here lately that President Biden is going to provide amnesty. He cannot do that. He can try it, but he'll be shut down by the courts in 30 seconds, Alan.
Well, you know, AMLO, I think, like you said, he's thinking about his legacy, you know, and like you said, maybe he wants to be thought of as like a world immigration leader, because it's hard to imagine AMLO just retiring from public life. He's going to look for some kind of, you know, venue to attract attention, I think.
I feel sorry for his successor.
I'll
tell you that right now. I mean, I feel sorry for his successor because apparently it's going to be this lady, Claudia Sheinbaum. That's what it looks like. Although I have Mexican friends. I have Mexican friends here in Dallas who tell me that's not going to happen, that this other lady, Valdez, is going to win. But I don't know what they're basing that on. But anyway, that's what they insist that she's going to win.
We'll find out in a few months. Yeah.
We'll find out for sure. But I think you're right. I just don't see him, you know, doing what other Mexican presidents have done before. Like, I remember De La Madrid just disappeared.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes they go to Europe. They go to Switzerland.
Calderon lives in Spain, I think.
Okay.
But I remember De La Madrid in particular because, you know, he left. He was not popular when he left, I guess. And he just disappeared. And then one day I found out that he was living in New Mexico because somebody ran into him. Somebody was like it's a crazy story, but a reporter goes to a cafe to have coffee and he looks to the other table and there's De La Madrid. And it's like, it can't be serious. Can't be De La Madrid, you know, but it was. So he said hello to him. But he just disappeared completely. And that was the tradition in Mexico. The ex-president would just disappear. And then you heard about it when he died. He died and they gave him a funeral. But right. that's not this guy. This guy's not going to disappear. No way.
Well, he has said he plans to write books, so that'll be part of it, doubtless. Well. But he's got a ranch, but I can't imagine him retiring to his ranch, you know, like LBJ.
No, I can't see that either. No, I mean, retiring to a ranch and he'll probably have morning press conferences in the ranch.
Yeah.
But you mentioned in the article that you wrote that they're trying to, if I understood your article correctly, that he's trying to force the immigration issue on the United States. Is that what you meant? That he's forcing the issue in the U.S.?
Well, yeah. I mean, he every chance he gets, you know, he does things like this. And in his press conferences, he often discusses it. And he's criticized. Governor Abbott is a favorite target. He goes after Abbott all the time. And DeSantis, he's also gone a lot after DeSantis.
His theory is that Abbott wants to be Trump's vice president.
Yes, that's what he said.
That's what he said. And I don't really see that. I think DeSantis is more likely to be vice president than Abbott. But Abbott is not he goes after Abbott, I guess, because of that SB4 law that we signed here. Right. And he's going after Abbott for that. In fact, I think they have even filed a brief.
Yep.
In our courts.
Yep.
But what I find hysterical is he says Mexico is not going to take back any people that we arrest crossing the border. Well, where do these people come from?
Exactly. They enter the United States from Mexico, but he says he won't take them back. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. But
it doesn't make sense. Now, speaking of that SB4, they extended the hold on that law. They haven't killed it yet. It's a crazy thing that the court is doing because they haven't killed it, but at the same time, they're not letting it go. Letting Texas go with it. So I don't know what's going to happen, but they're going to have to decide that it's either constitutional or not constitutional. I don't know your recollection, but the Supreme Court said actually put it into effect for at least a half a day or something, and then this court stopped it. I still think the Supreme Court is going to put it into effect because it's not an unconstitutional law, in my opinion. But getting right back to Mexico, what do you think the Biden administration? I mean, doesn't it, at least in my mind, it almost comes across as weak on the part of the Biden administration that they would allow the president of Mexico to set these conditions and there's no reply? Sounds like a very weak administration, Alan.
Well, I think politically, Biden is kind of in a quandary, right? Because the hard left, if he... you know, they made this deal, and AMLO confirmed it, to try to kind of reduce the levels of immigration somewhat for the election. That's what everybody thinks, and AMLO confirmed it. The question is, though, if Biden, you know, the public does not like what's going on, but if Biden cracks down on the border, the hard left will revolt. You know, the hard Democrat left will revolt. But... and he'll lose a lot of middle of the road voters. So I think it's putting Biden into this sort of a quandary.
Right. Well, I think Biden let it go too far. Had he started cracking down a year ago, then, you know, he could argue that he, but I think now who's going to believe him?
No.
I mean, I think everybody will see it for what it is. Yeah. Well, everybody will see it for what it is. It's an election year tactic. And yes, that's how they will see it. But what I always find interesting about the embargo with Cuba is that Cuba is not in a situation where money is going to solve the problem. I mean, the problem in Cuba is the system, the economic system that you know, that makes absolutely no sense. And you can give them money, in fact. Countries have given money to Cuba. They've given, Mexico has given money to Cuba. And yet they cannot pay back their loans because they have an economy that doesn't produce anything. So they get these loans and then they end up having to forgive all these loans. I mean, Mexico has forgiven millions of dollars to Cuba, or as they call it, rescheduled all of these loans. So I don't see what the embargo has to do with that. And the immigration issue is, I always tell people, you know, if you go back 10 years, 15 years, we basically had the same problem, but you didn't have caravans coming across. Yeah. So it's more of Mexico not enforcing its borders than it is a problem of root causes. That's impression.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I mean, these root causes have existed for decades. I mean, it's not like, gee, all of a sudden the area got poor. No, I mean, it's been like that forever. The difference is that before people understood that if you paid somebody to go to the border, that there was no guarantee you could get in. So you were kind of wasting your money.
Yeah.
But now you know you can get in if you can get up to the border. I think that's the issue. That's what's driving all these caravans, not the embargo with Cuba, but simply the fact that they can come into the United States, Alan.
Right. And well, regarding Cuba, I've always thought it's interesting. A lot of European countries have you know, a lot of commerce with Cuba. It hasn't helped them. You know, it's the problem is the Cuban communist system. So that's irrelevant. But of course, AMLO's a fan of, he was a fan of Castro. So, you know, what do you expect?
But yeah, exactly. You're right.
Yeah. But, and notice though, the difference between Trump and Biden. Trump was able to compel AMLO to support Remain in Mexico, to reduce people crossing. And AMLO got along very well with Trump.
Yeah, well, in fact, he said that in the 60 Minutes interview. Yeah. Say, oh, we worked together real well. We made these deals that were good for both countries. He didn't say remain in Mexico. I think he was talking about the trade deal.
Right. He didn't mention that.
Right. But, I mean, the two of them did work together and get along just fine.
Yes.
And now I guess they are working together, but I don't think they're, you know, Biden's not getting anything out of that relationship. I don't think so. At least the United States is not getting anything out of that relationship. And I've often wondered, Alan, all of these people walking through Mexico, all these caravans, thousands of people walking through Mexico, it cannot be popular in Mexico. That they've told me. A lot of Mexican friends have told me that, hey, look, you know, we're tired of all these people walking through our country. It presents a real risk to Mexico. Now, AMLO got very upset, I guess, when a New York Times reporter wrote something about his connections to the cartels.
Right.
That really angered him. In fact,
he's very thin-skinned because he... And that was, reporter was talking about links two election cycles ago. Election cycles
ago. Back in, when he lost.
Yeah, 2006. And so, you saw about how he actually doxed that reporter, put her telephone number up on the screen. I mean, that is just, that's an outrage. You know, it's a country like Mexico, it has a very bad record with reporters being
killed. Yes. No, you're right. And then I thought it was interesting. The 60 Minutes reporter asked him about that. And he said that, even though it was not true, I guess it still stains me or hurts me or whatever. He didn't like that at all. He didn't like it.
Right.
And I kept thinking to myself, you know, I thought it was a very soft interview. I don't know what you thought of it.
Some parts were and some weren't. I thought, here's what I noticed. However, some of the other topics, for example, when he was boasting about he had pretty much ended corruption and the security situation is good. I mean, how can you believe that? But sometimes she would put her disagreement in the segment, you know, which was put together after the interview, you know, the things that she would say in the segment. So, but you know, he would always make some excuse, and he actually said that he's just almost ended corruption in Mexico. How can you believe that? But he says it with a straight face. He says these things.
Right. Well, that's not what I hear.
From
people in Mexico. In fact, there's all these marches saying that he's the threat to democracy and all this kind of stuff. So I don't think people feel that way. I don't know if he has been any more corrupt than any other. That part I don't know.
But
I hear all kinds of stuff about his family and
and
all of this stuff going on. Now, the lady who may be coming in, Claudia Sheinbaum, a couple of people have asked me about her. And I said, you know, she's a bit of an enigma. I don't think anybody really knows what she's going to do. That's how I feel. I don't know if you have any better sense of it.
Right, because, well, she in her campaign, she says she's going to continue AMLO's program, but there will have to be some changes because, you know, she's a different person, have a different leadership style, may not have as much influence. So, you know, we'll just have to see. But, I mean, she sure looks like she's way ahead in the polls. The last one I saw was like over 30 points.
Right.
Something would have to change really quickly in order for her opponent to win.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think she's probably going to win. But the interviews that I've seen with her, or the times that I've seen her speak, she is quite a contrast to,
yes,
to López Obrador. I mean, in terms of personality and how she engages with the crowds, she just doesn't seem to have that touch that López Obrador has. And you wonder, you know, I wrote in one of my posts that I think that the public really wants this new president to do something about insecurity, because that is the problem that everybody tells me. Insecurity is problem number one. Everybody you talk to, you know, that's what they're talking about, how unsafe they feel on any given day. I mean, and that's going to be a challenge. I don't know how successful she has been as mayor of of Mexico City. That's a tough job, being mayor of Mexico City. It's a very tough job. So I don't know how successful she's been. The last time I was in Mexico City was Christmas 2021, and I got kind of mixed feelings or mixed reports on her performance. Some people say she's done well. Other people say this is not what, I mean, you get the usual criticism that Mexicans always have of their politicians. But I had somebody say to me that she is really corrupt. Apparently there's some corruption in her. So, you know, you hear all these things and you don't know how true they are. But the one thing I can safely say is that she doesn't have the same personality.
Oh, now,
that
no.
may be good or bad. That may be good or bad. I don't know. So my sense, I agree with you. What we talked about before, that I think that this is López Obrador planning his future. And he wants to at least go out saying, you know, I tried legalizing you. I tried giving you $20 billion. I tried ending the, you know, he just wants to go out that way. And but I would think he's not going to get it from Trump. I guarantee you that if Trump comes in. And I'm not even sure Biden can get away with it. I just don't see how he can do amnesty. I mean, I know they talk about it, Alan, but I don't see how they can do it. I think he would be impeached if he did the amnesty. I really believe that.
Well, and we're in election period.
Right.
He's got to be careful anyway, for at least for that purpose.
Right. You know, President Biden is at that fundraiser tonight in New York. And I just saw a story before we started recording that there are massive demonstrations outside wherever he is.
Oh.
These pro-Palestine demonstrations.
Oh,
outside. This is a very divided party.
Yes.
And he's in a very tough situation. Well, Alan, I want to thank you as always. Did you want to say anything else about your article or about the situation? I mean, I really believe López Obrador is planning his future. I think he could care less about the situation now. I think this is all about his next move. That's my feeling, Alan.
Well, yeah, he's thinking of his legacy and what he's going to do afterwards. And it's just hard to imagine him retiring and keeping quiet. I just can't imagine it.
So, well, the guy has a sense of humor, because I was listening to something he said the other day, and he said that he was planning to move to Cuba because he heard that things are really good there.
He ought to put his money where his mouth is, you know?
Yeah. So he's going to, apparently that's what he said. I doubt that he's going to do that. My guess is that he would stay in Mexico, but I would think that the incoming president would want AMLO to be as silent as he could be, Alan.
Right. Yes, well, she would. Yeah,
I think so. If I was advising her, that's what I would tell her. Well, Alan, thank you so much for your time, and I hope you and your family have a very happy remainder of the Easter week, a very happy Easter Sunday, and maybe your wife can get to wear one of those funny hats on Sunday. My wife does not wear them, so I can tell you that right now. I think it's hard to get Mexican women to wear these hats.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Alan, have a wonderful Easter.
And, okay, thanks. We'll, you too.
Thank you so much. And thank you again for joining us. It's always a great treat to have you.
Well, thank you.
All right. Happy Easter to you and your family.
Happy Easter.
All right. Our good friend Alan Wall joining us tonight to talk about Mexico, and specifically President López Obrador, who is demanding some interesting things out of the United States, like, you know, legalizing people up here and ending the embargo and ending sanctions against Cuba. I mean, that's a long list of things that he wants to do. Oh, as well as sending $20 billion to poor countries, whatever that means. I mean, it's unrealistic. I don't think you'll get it. But as I was talking to Alan, I think he's just projecting himself as a future leader. In about 6 months, he will be ex-president of Mexico. And I think he wants to have an audience or something he can talk about as a legacy as he retires. Everybody have a great Easter week or Easter Sunday or Easter Friday, Good Friday, whatever is remaining. Enjoy yourself, and we'll talk the next time. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and thank you for your time.